He goes into it. And every time he fires an arrow, he looks away because he's very affectionate towards Bhishma. And Bhishma is just smiling, accepting the arrows. It's a very touching scene. Arjuna is almost crying, shooting these arrows. And Bhishma is shooting arrows at Krishna. I don't know if this is in the film, but this is in the description of Mahabharata. He's shooting arrows. And because they're in this very esoteric ras, the chivalrous rasa, Krishna is feeling these as flowers landing on him. And the Goswamis have commented on how he had this feeling of what these arrows felt like. And one commentary says that he felt them like the bites of a lover. Sometimes a lover bites the skin, or sometimes in kissing there's very hard pressure on the teeth. It's very painful. But in a sexual embrace, they don't feel it as pain, they feel it as pleasure. So in this way, Krishna was feeling these arrows in this rasa of chivalry as very pleasing and very satisfying. Anyway, what Bhishma had promised Duryodhana that he would fight in such a fierce way that he would either kill Arjuna, he said, I'll kill him, and if he didn't kill him, he would force Krishna, because he was his intimate friend, to break his promise and engage in fighting. That was his determination to Duryodhana. Either kill him, or I'll fight so fiercely the Supreme Personality of Godhead has to break his word, that his solemn word will have to be broken. So this appeared to happen, because he said he wasn't going to fight, and suddenly he had the most devastating weapon in the whole creation, the chakra in the form of this chariot. He was spinning it and running after him. So, and Krishna is described as being very beautiful in that scene, with the blood that had splashed in his body and the dust from the battle. But as I recall in the Mahabharata, because the Kshatriya codes, they couldn't fight in the evening, that this time the sun began to set. So Krishna had to withdraw. So in one sense, he broke his promise to fight, but he didn't actually break it, because he didn't actually fight, he just started to fight. So it was one of those situations where Krishna can reconcile all differences and break and not break his promise and satisfy everybody. So these are some of the ways in which Krishna very mysteriously works. He operates from another dimension and in a way that is completely mysterious and mystifying the conditioned souls. He operates. It doesn't even really operate, but his agents operate for him, like Vishnu, they maintain the material world, and like Lord Brahma, they create the material world, and like Lord Shiva, destroying the material world. And Krishna in his original form, he's never one step out of Vrindavan, he's simply sporting and enjoying. This is the great mystic potency of the Supreme Lord. So, I'll stop here. If you have any comments or questions, we don't have too much time. Yes. Rajhari, Rajabihari. Welcome to United States. Hastinapura, new Hastinapura though.
You were saying how the material world is like a reform school. And that the suffering that the conditioned souls go through is ultimately a benefit. But we see, especially in the West, not as much in India, but especially in the West, that when people see a lot of suffering in the world, it seems to increase their debts about the existence of God rather than...
increase their debts? Debts.
Doubts.
Doubts.
Rather than increase their fire.
Yeah.
Could you
clear
up that?
Yeah. Sometimes Prabhupada made a distinction between being demonic and being unfortunate. We were riding in a car with him once in London, and there was a traffic policeman, was in a lady, and he said, "What is this? They're having lady policemen?" And he had never seen this before. It's in London. So this isn't exactly 100% related to your question, but he was very amused by it. He said, what if some very strong rogue grabs her? How will she defend herself? He was, seeing all women as his mother like that. Anyway, someone said, well, Prabhupada, she's a policewoman. She has a dress. They said, so? And if someone tears the dress off, then what? Anyway, right in that car at that time, this conversation came up, and he was saying that there are so many unfortunate people here in this world, here in this city, in London, They're so unfortunate, some of them may never become devotees. And we were saying, Prabhupada, what do you mean? And he said, can't we reform the demons? And he said, yes, demons, they can be reformed, but fortunate is a lower position. They cannot be reformed. So then the discussion came up at some point, like, about people who had come in and lived in the temple even, and entered in some form of devotional service, and even lived like devotees, but then one day they somehow went completely insane and ended up living in an institution. So the idea was that there is such a thing as misfortune or unfortunate. And the most unfortunate thing is that one cannot become a devotee, even after being exposed in some way to either the material world and all of its miseries, or even to devotional service. Whereas one who is demonic, and I guess we can all say we were demonic or eating meat at least at some time, we were fortunate because we were reformed. We were able to get that mercy, get that little ray of Vishnu or Krishna, that book or that devotee, that prasadam or whatever it was, heard the Hari Nam, Maha Mantra, heard the holy name, that saved us. It was the lifeline that brought us out of unfortunate to becoming fortunate, or out of demonic. But there's apparently a level which is very difficult to come out of. And therefore we see a lot of conditioned souls, like you mentioned, this part of the world, they seem to be just recycling themselves. As the Bhagavad Gita mentions, they're cast again and again into demonic wombs, and they can't seem to get that lifeline, even though we're reaching out to them regularly. So this is the unfortunate condition of the jail. The metaphor of the prison house is used because some people don't seem to get out of it. They just seem to like it, or they become more deeper enmeshed in ignorance. So we have our prison outreach programs, because there seems to be no exit for people. They just become involved in this endless cycle of misery. And some may just be so unfortunate they won't, we don't see any sort of light at the end of the tunnel. So that, what is it? Brahmanda Brahmite Kohanyu Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakta Litta Vij, that the living entity is in this condition of just going from one material world to another, being bewildered. And I don't know which word means fortunate in that verse, but if he is very fortunate, then, huh?
Bhaktiavan.
Bhagyavan, yeah, Bhagyavan means fortunate. If he is fortunate, then through this lifeline of either devotee or whatever it may be, somehow Krishna sends that person, or it's also the inconceivable or causeless mercy. We call it causeless mercy. We don't know why some people get it and some people don't. But then he becomes fortunate, and he gets the seed of devotional services planted in that person's mind. It's a very difficult thing to understand. It almost appears that that there's injustice, and the higher system, the infallible so-called justice system of karma and reaction and action and transmigration, seems to be mysterious and to us. Of course, on the other hand, we do accept that there is such a thing as universal justice. And one time Prabhupada was asked, what about people in a plane crash? There seems so many innocent people, children in the airplane, 300 people die all of a sudden. Prabhupada said, this is arranged by material nature. These people have all been assembled in this place so that they will meet that particular karmic reaction at that all at one time. It's very difficult, very mysterious to understand. Ajita?
So, just like you don't see how the misery of a particular person is mitigated, even by contact, as you say, some people come in contact with them, come into the temple for some time, and they go crazy. Similarly, we don't see what happens at the time of death. So even somebody who we consider to be completely out of it may, at the time of death, receive Krishna's mercy. Just like, whose mother was that who asked at the time of death, is your Krishna here now? I mean, she ostensibly was not a devotee. So you can tell from that question that she received mercy at the last moment. There's so many millions of people, just like you're seeing like the epiphany. Kavitandamaya said one time, and he reminded us that the mind is just like a movie camera. It's taking every single scene that you see. And at the time of death, it all gets replayed. So if somebody sees Lord Jagannath in the park, it's like the strangest thing they've seen in their whole life. At the moment of death, and the whole life is being replayed. You may just lock onto that one strange thing that you've never seen in New York, or in Paris, or London, or wherever. So we can't tell how many countless millions of people at the time of death, even when they've seen completely unfortunate in their whole life. If they just saw Lord Jagannath once, they can lock onto that at the moment of death, and go back to my temple. We just don't know.
That's a good point. We don't know the karmic background of any individual either. What's the verse in the 11th canon? We should try to see all the living entities as our own brethren, our sons, our children, because one of them might be my spiritual master one day. We don't know. We don't know what their background is. Like you say, it's invisible. Yeah?
Regarding the sound of the crow and the tree, this year in the GBC resolutions also, the controversy was put to an end. But actually, Srila Prabhupada did establish that originally the soul does originate from the spiritual world. And it's not just that we're talking about from the yogi. And Prabhupada mentioned also in that letter to Madhavisa that there may be some controversy, you know, whether we come from there. Prabhupada said, you're not in Leela, you're not in Leela and Brahma, nor are you in Krishna Leela. But ultimately, beyond this whole discussion, we originally come from there. We have been in Krishna Leela, and we have fallen into this material world.
Yeah, well, it wasn't exactly quite like that. It's still, there's still certain elements of that that are, it's not just totally cut and dried. There's still some elements of discussion going on. Amen. Okay, so I think we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Kishi Radhamana Mohan Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Pantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.